As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it is good to be here today with you on this fine Saturday afternoon. A little bit cooler weather we're having, I'll take that. Man, it's just been such a scorcher. It's been miserable out there, but the last couple days it's felt decent, just getting in the 80s, and feel like we can finally breathe a little bit and get out there. I think the breathing, though, is probably short-lived. As you guys have already started to notice, the air is starting to get a little bit more smoky, and we're starting to smell some of that smoke from the various fires that are taking place. We remember how detrimental the fires of 2020 were in our state, and how many people lost everything they had, their homes, their belongings. They were displaced. How many people are still displaced? People that live up in the Canyon area and elsewhere that just haven't recovered, and it's going to take them a long time to recover still. And here we are early on in the 2021 fire season. We know that it's incredibly dry. We've been in a drought the last several years. This year, the drought is just as bad as ever, if not worse. We know that we had very little rain over the winter months, very little rain in the spring, and there is just so much fuel out there, and it's so, so dry that we knew that this year was going to end up being a terrible fire season. And sure enough, we're early on in that fire season, but things have already kicked off, and Oregon's looking at some massive fires that are happening this week and just growing, and there's really no end to sight. And it's heartbreaking and it's scary because we remember last year. I mean, it was like yesterday for so many of us, and the people haven't recovered from everything they lost last year. And here we are in another fire season, and fires are already blazing out there. And it begs the question, when is the government, when is the state, when are they going to get their act together? You know, we know that there's global warming, and hear me out. Don't get all offended when I admit there's global warming, okay? It's not just a leftist issue. We know that there is climate change. We know that there is a natural cycle that happens. We know that this has happened for as long as our planet was created. And we know, if you're like me anyway, you believe that man needs to be good stewards of our environment, and we need to do what we can to try to take care of things. But we also believe that our role is not quite as significant as the left would like us to think. That cows farting aren't quite as big of a deal as the left would like us to think. We know that things happen in a cycle, and what we're seeing here with increased temperatures, less water, things like that, it's part of a natural cycle. And you know, if you've been around as long as I've been around, we've had two or three different things that we've been, you know, told we're supposed to panic over that never happened. You know, the ice age happening again, the hole in the ozone layer, and now this global warming. Yes, yes, here in Oregon and elsewhere in the world, things do seem to be warming up. Things seem to be getting colder in other areas. Yes, there is a naturally occurring climate change. And I believe that, you know, God being the creator of all, he's pretty brilliant, and he probably understood what he was doing. And he made a sustainable environment that that was ready to take on pretty much anything. And like I said, man, we need to be smart and we need to be good stewards. But definitely, I think our impact on what's causing this climate change is not very significant. But nonetheless, we need to at least admit that, yes, we are seeing climate change. So perhaps we should change how we manage things and better prepare ourselves so we can prevent things like these wildfires that have hit us so hard this last year and that are hitting us hard right now. And that goes back to what started this rant. When is the government going to wake up? When are they going to realize that they do a piss poor job at managing our forest? And we have so many resources right now, billions and billions of dollars, my friends, that are burning up, that are being wasted, that nobody's going to utilize, that are gone poof. Why? Because of our forest practices, because government-managed forest is dangerous, it's not economically friendly, and it's definitely having a huge environmental impact. It's time for governments to get out of managing our forests. It's time to give the lands back to the people. It's time to let the private sectors, the timber companies, the logging companies, manage our forest, because look at the forests that they do manage. Those are not the forests that are burning up. Their trees are more healthy. There's more of an abundance. There's so much more, because guess what? When they log that natural resource, they plant an abundance. They plant far more than they're actually harvesting, and they take care of it. Why? Because it's in their best interest to take care of it. Because they're looking out for their future, because they're making sure that it's sustainable, that there's going to be more trees to harvest in another 30 years. They do an excellent job of managing our timber and making sure. And right now here in Oregon, everybody looks out there at Oregon and the news and the left, they try to show all these pictures of things that were just recently clear-cutted and things that look really barren. But there is more trees in the state of Oregon right now than there was ever in the 30s. Not by a little bit, by a lot, my friends. We have so many trees out there. Why? Because of private timber companies. Now, the lands that we're having problems with, the lands that are burning up, the lands that these resources are being destroyed, the lands that are jeopardizing private land and the houses of these people that live next to it or on it, this is government managed land. Why? Because the government doesn't let you do squat, and they don't do squat. They don't do anything with it. And the fuel on the bottom, that underbrush, the brush that needs to be raked out of there, cleaned out of there, thinned out of there, it's just overgrown. And it's overgrown, and there's an abundance of it, and it's dry. It's a tinderbox. They don't let people go on it. They don't let people maintain it. They don't let fire roads be cut into it. They don't let motor vehicles on it. Everything the government does makes it so it's almost impossible to manage and maintain it in a way that's going to prevent these fires from happening. Or if there is a fire, we can't access it, or we can't get on it to fight it the way we need to fight it, because it's so poorly managed and there's not roads, there's not access roads to get back in there and do what we need to do. And let me tell you something else. Fire, my friends, is big business. There are people making huge money on it. So some of these agencies that are out there fighting, they're not moving as swiftly as they could. They're not acting as fast as they should to prevent something from spreading further and being able to take care of it before it gets to a point where it's hard to take care of, before it's out of control. No, a lot of times they're intentionally letting it grow. Why? Because then they get to be called out and they get to be put on these fires and making big money to fight these fires. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the firefighters. These brave men and women put their life on the line, and they are there for the right reasons, and they are working their butts off in dangerous conditions, and they are trying to save life and property from these natural disasters. But the people that are managing it, the people that are creating the policy that sparked this environment, those people, some of them, I believe they should be criminally charged. After the fires that took place last year, and knowing what we know, and the damage that was done, and the lives that were lost, and finding out that some of these agencies were told to stand down, that our government told them not to do anything, just monitor it, watch them grow. And what happened? They grew to a point that they couldn't stop it quick enough. They couldn't control it, and it killed people. And yes, my friends, the people that are responsible for those policies, the people that gave that stand down order, they should be prosecuted. They should be prosecuted. It is absolutely disgusting. What's happening to those people? How come nobody's going after our governor? She's responsible for this. But yet nobody does anything. They just keep getting a free pass. And here we are, not even a year later, my friends. Fires are blazing again. But what's happened in this last year? Has our policies improved? Has our timber practices gotten better? Has the government decided to allow private industry to take over so they can manage these lands better? No. Didn't we learn anything in 2020? Didn't we learn how detrimental it is not to have good management? But no, a year later, the same crappy policies, the same crappy managers, and guess what? We are in a more dangerous spot now than we ever were before, and we have fires blazing. Fires blazing, wiping out our resources, wiping out our lands, wiping out the animals' habitat, putting our land in danger and humans' lives in jeopardy. For what? All because the government thinks they know how to do it. The government thinks they can do it better than us, and we don't have the right. We don't have the right to control our own lands. Like I said, the private companies, the big landowners that have a lot of timber, you look at their land. Their land is not burning. Their trees are healthy. Their forests are flourishing. Their wildlife are flourishing. They don't have these issues because their product has to be sustainable. Their product has to be there for generations and generations and generations for their businesses to thrive. It's in their best interest to make sure that it's protected, to make sure that it's cleaned up, to make sure that it's not a tinderbox, and their product is not burning up into smoke. Their product is not responsible for all the smoke and the pollutants that are going into the air right now. You know what the left is so concerned about? So much of this could be avoided, my friends. Why do we let these people get away with this? I'll tell you why. Because until people wake up and learn that if you keep sending the same types of people back into government, if you keep electing the same people over and over again, if you keep sending people into government for 50 years, guess what? Nothing different is going to happen. Nothing is going to change. If you keep letting Oregon be ran by a supermajority of Democrats that are clueless, if you keep electing a governor like Kate Brown that is absolutely clueless and absolutely dangerous, guess what? Things are not going to get better in this state. If you want change, if you want things to be better, my friends, we have to be about smarter. We have to be a lot smarter about who we send there and who we elect to these positions. We need to stop burying our head in the sands. We can't have apathy anymore. It's time for each and every one of us to wake up. And I'm calling on you, moderates, the Democrats out there, that are looking around and realizing, oh, crap, what did my party do? The ones that own businesses that are being hurt by this, the ones that have kids in school that realize that the education they're getting absolutely sucks. You moderates, you Democrats, it's time for you guys to cross over. It's time for you guys to realize that what you've done isn't working for this state. It's not working for this country. Stick with me, friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here today with you. We were just talking about the lack of common sense, the lack of management, the mismanagement that has put our state in jeopardy, put lives on the line, been responsible for actually killing people, and actually burning up, literally burning up our precious natural resources and destroying the habitat for our wildlife. And who is responsible for that? I'll tell you who. The policies that are implemented and created by the Democrat Party. People like Kate Brown is directly responsible for what we are seeing. The fact that Oregon is burning up right now. The fact that 227,000 acres have been burnt already at the Bootleg Fire. The fact that the canyon has fires in it already. The fact that Sisters has fires over there by it. We have fires on every corner of the state and in between right now, and it's not going to get any better. We are in the very beginning of fire season, my friends. The very beginning, and there is an abundance of dry fuel on the ground. A tinderbox just waiting to explode. And why? Because, I'll tell you why, because the Democrats, my friends, are in control. Because the government wants to hold on to this land because they think they know what's best. Do they know what's best? Do they know what's best? No. The answer is turn it over to the private industries and let them manage these resources so they don't burn up into smoke. It's absolutely ridiculous. We have fires from 15 years ago that have wiped through our land, and the trees are still standing there useless, and they've been wasted. Wasted because of the left and their ridiculous policies that lack any bit of common sense whatsoever. It's stinking unbelievable. And you guys, we sit there and watch it. We watch it burn. And we complain. But what do? We keep sending the same people back to Salem. It's time for us to get leaders in Salem that are going to fight. It's time for us to be the biggest thorn in their side. It's time for us to get vocal. It's time for us to make sure that they know what we want. They need to know what we need here in this state, and they are not cutting it. And my friends, we can either sit by and watch it all burn up, or we can start getting involved right now. We can start demanding better timber practices. We can start demanding that the private industries take over. We can clean up our fires, clean up our woods, clean up all that fuel that's on the ground that's burning right now, and protect the resources and protect lives for years to come. That's what we have to do. Or are we going to wait? Next year, around this time, am I going to be talking to you guys and say, hey, do you remember the fires of 2021? That was awful. You know, they're going again. We got more fires happening right now. Are we going to let another year go by without working on changing our policies that created this tinderbox? I'm afraid that's what we want to do. Because it seems like nothing fires people up anymore. It seems like nobody wants to get involved. It seems like we're walking around with this defeatist attitude. We can't change anything here in Oregon, so why even try? And we throw our hands up in there. Meanwhile, more people are fleeing the state of Oregon because they can't handle the policies anymore. They can't handle the taxes here anymore. They can't run their businesses here anymore. They can't handle the education here anymore. So they're fleeing. It's a mass exodus. They're leaving as fast as they can. And we got California people coming on up I-5, and they're coming into our state because they can't handle what's going on in California. But guess what? When they get here, they put the same type of people back in to power right here in Oregon that are going to turn this state into California. The only way to fix things, my friends, is we stay and fight. If we stay and fight for this state, we've got to do it. We can't have that defeatist attitude. We can't throw our hands in there. We've got to stay and fight this head on. We got to take it to Salem. Our elected officials need to understand what we want, and they need to understand that if they don't give it to us, they will be voted out. And that goes for the Republicans too. We have too many moderate Republicans that aren't willing to fight Salem, that aren't willing to take on that Democrat machine, that aren't willing to go up against the supermajority because they're afraid. Well, guess what? I don't want any politicians that are afraid anymore. I want politicians that are willing to fight. I want politicians that are willing to stand up for my property rights, willing to stand up for lower taxes, willing to stand up for my timber, willing to stand up for my job, willing to stand up for my business, willing to stand up for my gun rights, willing to stand up for my First Amendment right. We have a handful of them. We have a handful of them. But we have far too many that aren't doing enough. They're just not doing enough. And those people, they might be nice people. When it comes to values, they might share similar values. You can have a conversation with them in a bar, and you might find that they're on the same page. But when it comes to what they do for you in Salem, my friends, that's where it's at. I had a long conversation about politicians and their voting records. And, you know, it's pretty divided up. You have the Democrats, you have the Republicans. And the Republicans expect their elected representatives to vote a certain way. And so anytime I hear, well, I've got a great voting record, my answer is, do you? What have you done beyond being just one vote in a minority party, my Republican friend? Because in a minority party, we really don't have any power. Your power is, how much fighting are you going to do for us behind the scenes? How effective are you going to be in the committees for us? Your one vote in a minority party doesn't mean a whole lot. But you got these Republicans out there saying, look at my voting record. I've got a great voting record. Well, yeah, I'm glad you voted exactly the way I would have expected you to vote for being a Republican representative. If you voted any other way, you would have been elected. You have to vote that way if you want to be elected. I don't care about your voting record. In a minority party, that vote doesn't mean squat to us, and everybody knows that. The power comes in how much are you going to fight for us behind the scenes. Don't turn that dial, my friends. We'll be right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and it is good to be here today on Saturday afternoon with you. I hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for joining me on the show today. We were just talking about the wildfires and what we need to do to change our policies so we can make Oregon a safer place, so we can make sure that our resources are protected and not going to go up in smoke, and protect lives and our houses. And the only way to change these policies are to change our elected officials. And we were talking about how a lot of Republicans in this state are leaving because it's gotten so bad here and they're just giving up on the state. And the ones that are staying have this defeatist attitude, kind of, and they're looking around at their Republican buddies that are leaving and they're saying, you see, there's nothing I can do. And so they just continue to do nothing. And that's a little bit why we're in this mess. But you still have the power, my friends, to elect your own representatives. And yeah, we might be the minority party. Okay. But we still do have Republican representatives going to Salem for us. And we can still make sure that we're electing the right ones that are going to fight as hard as they can fight and be the most effective behind the scenes with their caucus, on their committees, and doing everything they can within their power to make sure they're lobbying on behalf of you, behalf of your state, behalf of your party, to get the best deals that they can without selling their souls. That's the key, right? I don't want anybody to make a deal and completely lose their integrity and sell out our values, our principles, our beliefs. No, there are some things that we can't negotiate on. There are some things that we will not waver. But we have to be smart enough to be able to sit down at a table with the opposing side and have enough respect from them that they'll listen. And maybe we gain a little ground. just maybe we gain a little ground. But I see a lot of politicians that are giving up on that. They're not even trying, or maybe they're just not good at that type of a game. And that's what it is. And if they're not good at that type of a game, guess what? They shouldn't be your representative. Let's talk about what's happened here in Oregon with House District 23 Representative Mike Nierman. You guys know that he was expelled, that every single Republican voted to expel him because of what happened on that fateful day that he decided to walk out of the Capitol building. You guys also know that I was one of the first people that defended Mike, that I've spoke highly of Mike, and that I supported him. And you know that when it first happened, I said, look, I can't tell you why Mike did what he did, but I don't think anybody can prove that he had intent to allow those people to come in, and there was no intent for anybody to hurt the police officers or anybody inside the building, things like that. Okay. Well, we now know, obviously, that Mike had this planned out before. He was on video talking about it and giving out his cell phone number. And so Mike's in some trouble. Mike put the Republicans in Salem in a bad position, and they had to vote. They voted to expel him. And people were livid. But the behind-the-scenes story is he backed them into a corner, and there was nothing else that they could really do. Our party, my friends, we have to be better than the Democrats. We have to follow our laws. We have to follow the rules and the policies that are implemented, and we have to carry out everything we do with integrity. And what I've seen since Mike Nierman got expelled was a huge fraction in our party, and a lot of people seem to not give a damn about integrity. Now, on principle, I believe our Capitol should be open. On principle, I think it was completely wrong for them to make that rule. And remember, they made the rule under the COVID emergency clause that they could shut down our Capitol and keep people out of it. I think that was wrong. But that being said, we can't be hypocrites. If the tables were turned, if the shoe was on the other foot, if that was a Democrat that ran out that door and allowed people to come in, allowed protesters to come in and fight against our law enforcement. Now, keep in mind, we are the party that is supposedly backing the blue, right? We're the party that's backing the blue. If we had a Democrat go out the door and allow protesters to come in and endanger the lives of people in the Capitol or endanger our law enforcement officers, the Republicans would have a fit. You and I would be having a fit. We cannot claim that we're the better party. We cannot claim that we are morally superior if we're going to be hypocrites and if we're not going to hold our own members to the same standard that we would try to hold the Democrat Party to. That's one of the reasons why we don't like the Democrat Party, because it appears that they don't have any standards whatsoever. So when a member of our party screws up, when they fail, when they don't follow our laws, when they don't follow our policies, we have to hold them to a standard, my friends, and we better do it to the same exact standard that we would try, I say try, to hold the Democrats accountable for. And that's what happened to Mike Nierman. Yet a lot of people, to hell with integrity, right? They're just upset. They think the Capitol should be open and Mike Nierman should have no consequences. Well, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works, and he had his consequences. And now we have a new representative for House District 23. Anna Scharf from Perrydale got the appointment from the county commissioners. That was Marion County, Yamhill County, Benton County, and Polk County. Polk County weighing in about 70% of the vote based on population for House District 23, which is roughly 57,000 people, the majority being in Polk County. But Anna Scharf is the new appointee for House District 23. She'll obviously have to run. She's finishing about half this term that was Mike Nierman's term that he got elected. And she'll, you know, in fact, I imagine that within the next 6 months, you'll already see campaigning start. And she'll be trying to get that seat permanently and win in the next election. I don't know if anybody's running against her. I actually threw my name in the hat and made it to the final round. Got up to the commissioner's interview, and ultimately they felt Anna was the person that could most effectively start, you know, on the ground running, because she was actually an assistant for Mike Nierman. She's familiar with the Capitol. She's worked on a lot of the policies that he was working on, and she felt that the commissioners felt that she was the best equipped, which is fine. I've known Anna for many, many years. I've known her family. Good people. And out of everybody that was actually involved in running for that appointment, I think I'm happy that it came down to Anna. Of course, I would have loved to be your representative, but the reality is everybody else in there, they didn't have enough experience working and volunteering within our district quite like Anna and myself have. So we've been very engaged in our communities and very active. So we were the best equipped to know what our district needs are, know what the businesses in our district needs are, and go to Salem and represent the district. So they picked Anna, and I'm happy for her. Congratulations, Anna. I think you're going to do well, and I'm going to be rooting for you and praying for you. And why I'm bringing this up is because it ties into what I was saying on, we have to make sure that we're holding our elected officials accountable. So Anna, you know me, we're friends, but I'll call you out if I need to call you out. You know what my expectations are. Now, I was talking about Mike Nierman. A lot of the people that I believe kind of threw their integrity out the window that are defending Mike Nierman to the end on this, that are unwilling to understand the horrible position that Mike Nierman put his Republican colleagues in, or hear the backstories about he wasn't forthcoming with his colleagues and he wasn't truthful with them. And that was the reason why they decided that they couldn't trust him and he could no longer represent the district. He wasn't going to accomplish anything in the district anymore for the citizens in the district, because he had no support in Salem. He didn't have any committees he was on. He was stripped of all his committees, and he just didn't have any respect. So he wouldn't have done anything for House District 23. But the people that are blind to all that, that just want to ignore all that, you know, they keep saying, look at his voting record. He's got the best voting record. And my argument is, yes, we're a conservative district, one of the most conservative districts in the state of Oregon. And yes, he had a good voting record, and by God, it is exactly the way a Republican in a conservative district would have to vote to continue getting elected in this district. He didn't do anything special for his district, my friends. Now, I like Mike. I don't think he's a bad person. I don't think he has a bad heart, and I think he loves the state. But my God, we've got to let it go and move on. And by fighting this and keep pointing at the Republicans and calling them rhinos and trying to do anything and everything you can to disrupt the system because you're pissed off that Mike Nierman's not your representative anymore, you've got to get over it. You've got to move past it. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show. Time flies when you're having fun. This is Patriot Uprising Radio, and I'm your host, Mickey Garris. Man, we are in the last segment, and time does fly. There's just never enough time. But I didn't want to leave without addressing the reality that you do know. I hope you guys are bracing yourselves for the fact that it is very likely, and I predict that within the next 2 or 3 weeks, unfortunately, that Oregon's going to go back under lockdown. I think it's coming. L.A. has already gone under lockdown again in California. They're citing increased COVID cases. And if you haven't noticed, they've been trying to scare the bejesus out of everybody, talking about this new variant of the virus, this new strain that is much more contagious and gets people much more sick. And to me, it's kind of almost like one of their last-ditch efforts. Their vaccine campaign, if you can call it a vaccine anyway, their vaccine campaign has not gone very well whatsoever. And Biden's failed at getting the 70% of Americans vaccinated the way he wanted to. And Oregon's definitely failed. In fact, it's kind of funny. A new survey shows that Governor Brown here in Oregon is the least trusted when it comes to what she says about vaccines. And so a lot of the experts that are pushing for vaccines, that are trying to convince us peoples here in the state that vaccines are what we need to do, that we all need to be vaccinated to protect ourselves and save everybody, they're actually telling Governor Brown to, you know what, maybe you ought to back away. Maybe you need to get out of the spotlight. Maybe you need to stop talking about the vaccines and pushing people to get vaccines because nobody likes you. Nobody likes you, Kate Brown. You need to go away. Yeah, these are her people, people that believe the same things that she believes, telling her it's time for her to back off because when she says it, people are more inclined to do the exact opposite because nobody trusts her at all. I think that's absolutely hilarious, and I'm proud of my fellow Oregonians for actually waking up and realizing that we cannot trust Kate Brown at all, especially when she's talking to us about COVID and the vaccines. And let me tell you something else, my friends. I've always said from the get-go that I'm happy that there's a vaccine available for those people that feel like that is the right choice for them and their health and their family. But if you start making it mandatory, I'm going to have issues. I am not an anti-vaxxer, but I felt like this vaccine or these vaccines, there's two or three of them now, right, have been rushed and there's not been enough testing done. They're an experimental vaccine. And I felt like we don't know what the true consequences of taking this vaccine could be. And let me tell you, my friends, as time goes on, as it moves on, we are starting to see that there are some very serious side effects, some very serious consequences to these vaccines. And you know what? People have every single right to be concerned because people are dropping like flies or having several other major medical issues after they've taken the vaccine. Let me read this to you. The Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, that's VAERS, logged 5,993 reports of deaths of people injected with COVID vaccine between December 14th of 2020 and June 11th of 2021. That's more than all the deaths reported to the VAERS from all other vaccines combined over the last 22 years. And it says, but these numbers, as shocking as they are, don't scratch the surface of the actual number of dead Americans. We have whistleblowers inside the CMS, and we have two whistleblowers in the CDC. We think we have 50,000 dead Americans. That's 50,000 deaths. So we actually have more deaths due to the vaccine per day than certainly the viral illness by far. It's basically propagandized bioterrorism by injection. My friends, we need to wake up. And I've said it before. I've said it at the risk of pissing off some of my family members, some of my closest friends. If you're an adult, if you have children, and you've had your kids go and get this vaccine, I think it's borderline child abuse. I absolutely do. How dare you? How dare you use your children as guinea pigs? How dare you force them to take the jab, not knowing what is that going to do to them? How is that going to help them in their life down the road? Is that going to cause them to have birth defects when they have children? What is it going to do to their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren? We don't know what type of side effects this vaccine is going to cause, what it's going to do to people's health. Is it going to sterilize them? There's so many things that it could do that we just don't have the answers to. Yet you're okay with using the children as guinea pigs and jabbing them with this experimental drug for a virus that is less dangerous, that has killed less people than the flu does every single year. I don't understand it. And if you're so concerned, how come we've never been concerned like that about the flu? I think it's child abuse, and I think people need to wake up. I was skeptical about the vaccine when it first came out. I was all for people having their own choice when it comes to their medical decisions. But now with the new information, the numbers that we keep seeing come through, it's more and more evident to me that this vaccine or these vaccines, whichever one you want to pick, are just flat out dangerous. There are still too many unknowns. And I caution you guys to please don't take my word for it. Don't believe what I just read you. Look at the data on our own CDC's government webpage. Listen to other reputable doctors that are virologists, that are experts in the field. Listen to the things that they have had to say about this. Fauci is not your only source for information. Kate Brown is not your only source for information. They are not the only experts on this. There are other people that you can trust that you should be listening to, and you should be taking everything you've heard and weighing it out. And then when you've gathered information, make your own decision what is best for you and your family. Don't force your kids to get this vaccine. This is only going to get worse. And look what they're doing here in Oregon. They're giving you like lottery tickets to get the vaccine. People have gotten $1 million cash. They've won this drawing. They're bribing people to get a vaccine. Come on, have you ever heard of anything like that? That's crazy. They're bribing us and we're foolish enough to fall for it. Oh, I'll take that cocktail. Give me that experiment. Yeah, I know it's not FDA approved, but I've got a chance to win $1 million. What? My kids are going to have 3 eyeballs? That's okay. I got $1 million, maybe, if I win. No, come on, my friends. There is something wrong. There is something sick. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy guy. Sometimes I am. You know, I don't know if this is about population control from Bill Gates, like some of the rumors. I don't think so. But I'm just telling you that there is a lot of people I trust that are sharing information with me that makes me very concerned. And I know people in my own circle that their family or friends have gotten this vaccine and end up getting very sick. And so when it's happening, when you can take a group of 10 people around you and talk to them, you will hear stories of somebody that got the vaccine that had an adverse reaction from that vaccine in that group of 10. And then think of how many millions of people must be having adverse reactions to that vaccine. That's all I'm saying. It's time for you to use your own brain on this and figure things out for yourself, my friends. We are out of control. Stay vigilant out there. God bless you guys. Keep praying for this country. Keep praying for Donald Trump. He's coming back, my friends. And we will catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.